Susie, thank you so much. I am honored to be invited, and as a big fan of Donnie's work, I'm very glad to be able to help if I can. I wanted to spend a few minutes looking at a particular midrash which you have on the sheets in front of you, on a particular pasuk from Parshas Noach, the reading for this week, and a lesson that it may provide for us. If you take a look at source number one on the sheets, this is from the beginning of the parsha when Hashem tells Noach that he wants Noach to build a boat. Right? We're familiar with the story, I hope. Right? Boat, ark, and so on. Take a look at source number one. Hashem says to Noach, "Aseh lecha tevas atzei gopher." Make for yourself a boat of gopher wood. What is gopher wood? That's a discussion for another time. But make a boat of gopher wood. Kinim ta'aseh hateva. And you shall make the boat of kinim. Kinim, I translated here as nests. We'll come back to it in a moment. V'chafarto, sami bayisu michutz ba'kofer. You should line the boat inside and out with pitch. That's the instruction. You should make the boat of kinim. Now, usually, when we learn this story, we're so focused on the remarkable content of the story and getting to the part with the precipitation that the instructions about building it sort of get, you know, set off to the side. Like, okay, build it this many cubits, this many cubits, this many cubits, let's move on. But make the boat of kinim is really strange. I translated it here as nests. What word would have been perhaps more appropriate? Sorry? Oh. Kinim, that's a cuff. Right. Make the boat of lice would be a bad idea. It's bad enough you had to put two on the boat. that's the kofar that they use. That's lining it inside and out. With kofar is pitch. But the kinim with a kaf is lice. Kinim with a kuf, cane. Like if you're familiar with the mitzvah, shiluach ha-cane, sending away the mother bird when you're going to take the eggs from the nest, that's where this word comes from. It's cane is a nest. Kinim is the plural. But nests describe the place where someone's going to live. If you would have asked me, I would have used the words that are found in source number two. Right? This is just a sample pasuk where the Torah talks about places where people live. It happens to be not kinim, but frogs in Egypt. And we're told that the frogs are going to come into the bayit. It's going to come into the house. It's going to come into the cheder. It's going to come into the room. Why doesn't Hashem say to Noach, chadarim ta'aseh ha-teva? Build a boat out of rooms. Make rooms. That's what they are. As the Medrash continues in ensuing Midrashim, besides the one that we're going to see, it talks about what the dimensions were, what the structure was. It should have said rooms. Instead it says kinim, and a cane is indeed a nest. So the question that I'd like to, and actually I brought you here in source number three, a few references to psukim, passages from the Torah that use the word cane, and it's always a bird's nest. So why use the term for a bird's nest? Take a look, please, at source number four. Medrash in Bereishis Rabba on Parshas Noach. Kinim ta'aseh hateva. You shall make the boat of kinim. Kilin umidorin. Kilin is a Greek word. I translated it there as rooms. I gave you a possible Greek association in source number five. I don't know if we have any Greek readers here. The word is pronounced kolosh. It's a hollow space. So the kilin, some kind of a hollow space, midorin residences, and Rabbi Yitzchak. Rabbi Yitzchak gives us the explanation for why the Torah says kinim. Ma hakein hazem mitaheres hamitzora avtevascha mitaharascha. Just like the nest purifies the mitzora, so too the boat is going to purify you, Noach. That's interesting. A mitzora is often rendered inappropriately as a leper, right? Leprosy and sarat are two different things, but sarat in the Torah is some kind of a spiritual ailment that is manifest on a person's skin, on a person's clothing, on a person's house even potentially, marks that identify the person as guilty of something that has caused Hashem to inflict them with tzara'at. What's the usual sin that earns tzara'at?
Lashon hara.
That's them. We're familiar with, the Gemara mentions a few others, but lashon hara gets the headlines. But that's true. We associate the mitzvah with the sin of lashon hara. And how does a nest purify a mitzvah? How does a nest purify a mitzvah?
Well, I guess outside the camp.
He is outside the camp, and we're going to come back to that. But actually, that's not how he's purified via a nest. This is also another problem in Torah. Sometimes your problem with the pasuk is that it's overshadowed by a great story. Sometimes the problem with this is that it appears in the middle of really dense text. And that's the case in terms of the nest association with the mitzvah. It's in Tazria mitzvah, which you know, can be a hard read. So I brought you some references here to show you what it is that we're talking about. Source number 7, I'll come back to number 6 in a moment. But source number 7, as part of the purification process of the mitzvah, v'tzivah kohen, the kohen shall instruct, v'lakach lamitaher, he shall take on behalf of this person who is being purified at the end of the period of being a mitzvah, shtei tziporim chayos tehoros, 2 live pure birds, as well as cedar wood, as well as red wool, as well as hyssop, but we're focusing on the 2 birds. These are known as kinim. There is a masechet, there's a volume of Mishnah called kinim, which describes the laws for this type of offering. So just as the offering brought by the mitzvah is going to purify the mitzvah, so too Noach's boat is going to purify Noach. Now, it isn't only the mitzvah who brings a cane, who brings a set of 2 birds for purification. Who else does? Who else in the Torah brings birds for purification? That's true. That's not purification. That's atonement. But you're right. If a person has to bring a sin offering and isn't able to afford something more expensive, they may bring birds. You're 100% right. As part of purification, source number 6 shows that after a woman gives birth, there's a period of impurity and then a period of automatic purity, and without going into a whole discussion about why and what and how long, after this period ends, in order to be able to eat from korbanot, from offerings in the Beit HaMikdash, again, she has to bring birds of purification. And also, in source number 8, Ezav. An Ezav is a male, or actually could apply to a male or a female, who also undergoes a certain condition that will warrant purification and will need to bring these birds. And so I have 3 questions. Question number 1 is, why does poor Noach need purification? What did he do wrong that, you know, he has to be purified and God has to tell him in the Torah for us to read for all generations that the boat is going to purify him? What is the lesson here? Why does Noah need to be purified? That's question number 1. Question number 2 is, if you're going to compare Noah to somebody who needs purification, why pick the mitzvah? You could have just as easily picked the woman who gave birth. You could have just as easily picked the Zav, the person in source number 8. Why did you pick the mitzvah as the model? And question number 3, how does a boat provide purification? What is the boat going to do for Noah that will purify him? Are we clear on where we've come from here? We have this odd word, kinim, which is a hint to Noach that the boat is going to be for purification, like the mitzvah. But I don't know why he needs it, I don't know how the boat is going to give it, and I don't know why we're comparing him to a mitzvah. So let's start with the point about comparing him to the mitzvah. Why might I compare him to the mitzvah, this person with tzara'at, as opposed to anything else, as opposed to the woman who gave birth, as opposed to the zav? So 2 approaches. Yeah, Janice.
More religious, to have more faith in Hashem, to be good and not to do the abominations that they were all involved in.
So we don't find Noah, it appears, reaching out to the people around him. How does that make him similar to a mitzvah?
Similar to a mitzvah.
Well, lashon hara would be actively, you know, doing something to harm them, right? That's a, you know, a harsh thing to go from inaction to compare him to somebody who speaks lashon hara. I think is harsh. Poor Noah. People do this to him all the time. Yeah.
He didn't maybe have to speak lashon hara. He could have just looked down on the other people, and that would
be maybe. Mm-hmm.
Maybe.
I still think that's a, you know, I still think that's a harsh judgment of him without him actually having done anything active that's recorded for us. I have to admit, I'm a contrarian on Noach. You know, people beat up on Noach a lot, and really, when you're the only person in the world God deems worth saving, there must be something to you. Yes.
I thought that maybe it's an example of the fact that whether we know it or not, we are not perfect.
Mm-hmm.
So that's why, because there is a chance of us not being perfect, or Noah not being perfect, he should have the possibility to redeem his mistakes.
Right. So I'm going to come back to that. It's a good thought. I want to come back to that. Yes? And
he's also isolated from everybody else. It's different. And the Torah also gets isolated.
Excellent. The Mitzora is an outcast. He has to stay in the Chutz L'machana, outside the camp, and Noach is very much isolated. That's a good answer. Others, I saw there were a couple of other hands. Yeah?
I mean, so what I was going to say is that if you wanted to get the Mitzora, frequently when you speak Lashon Hara, you speak to one person or a few people. So maybe he did. He couldn't avoid speaking to people. People saw him building the ark. So they would come over and say, what are you doing?
Yeah.
Well, he hasn't said something to a few people.
Right.
Maybe just it wasn't enough.
But he said something negative?
Not negative, but it was just like he could have, like in the way that he could have done more, so he didn't do enough.
I don't like the idea of indicting someone for not doing more. I'm calling him a mitzvah for that. I'm going to go a little further with it because I want to make sure to stick within my window, so to speak. That's another discussion about the boat and the window and so on. Two suggestions for the comparison between Noach and the Mitzora. One has already been said. It's the idea of Noach as indeed the outcast. If you jump to source number 12 for a second, I was going to give this as my second answer, but since it was suggested. Source number 12, regarding this mitzvah, v'atzeru asher bo hanega, the person who has this mark of tzarat on him, begadav yufru mim, his clothing is to be torn, rosho yefarua, he lets his hair grow wild, v'al safam yata, he has to cover his head down to his upper lip, v'tamei tamei yikra, and he has to call out, he is impure, and he stays outside of the camp, and he's warning people off. He has to tell people to stay away from him. He is an outcast, and Noach is an outcast as well. That's one. The other is that we mentioned three types of people who bring the cane, who bring the burnt offering for purification. But only one of them has it for purification and atonement. Meaning that the woman who gave birth, technically speaking, does not require atonement. It's true that one of her karbanot is called a chatat, which translates to sin offering, leading to midrashim that try to explain what the sin is. However, as the Gemara itself notes, it's not actually a sin offering at all. It's source number 11 for those who want to read through it. It's a Gemara in Krisos. It's not actually atonement for sin. She did nothing wrong. The reason it is called a chatat is because it is processed in the same way that you process a karban chatat, and the karbanot in the Torah are named for their processes, for what you do with them. So that's why it gets that name. It's not about atonement. Ditto for the Zav, Zava. Their offering is not about atonement. But the Mitzora's offering is both purification and atonement. And that's what's unique to the Mitzora, and that's why he's associated with Noach, possibly, is because Noach also needs some measure of atonement. And that's not my novelty. Take a look, please, at source number 10. The Eitz Yosef commentary to Medrash Rabbah suggests this, writing, Lo nakat zava bioledes. Dein taharasan alchet. It didn't choose the cane of the zav. It didn't choose the cane of the woman who gave birth, because they didn't sin. V'taras Noach nami mechet haya. Noach needs purification because he has done something wrong. So that there are two reads of this medrash that we could offer. Why is Noach compared to the Mitzora? Either because he's an outcast, as the Mitzora is, or because he has done something wrong that requires atonement as well as purification. Okay, taking the approach that he's done something wrong, what is it that Noach has done wrong? So the Eitz Yosef continues in sources 13 and 14 to suggest, actually source 13 I should say, he suggests that it's because of the sin either that everybody has, someone said before, everyone's done something wrong, that's one possibility. Alternatively, simply because he didn't have sufficient faith, he didn't think this was really going to happen. And that's another midrash that points out that Noah doesn't enter the boat until the rain starts, suggesting that he doesn't have the full faith that it's going to happen. And yes, there is this idea that he didn't reach out to other people, so that we can throw into the mix as well. That would be why he would need atonement. And then how is the boat going to help him atone? So one possibility is, yeah, it's going to force him to speak to people as he builds the boat, and that's something I'm going to come back to. But also, take a look at source number 14. Eitz Yosef continues his thought. He says, Noach's purification is not only the conversations he's going to have, but the difficulty of building it. This is a hard thing to build that he's going to have to go through. And also, you know, once he's built the boat, he's not done. He has to support all these different creatures on the boat for a year. Right? We won't have a dog for a day. He's going to have all these animals and birds and who knows what on this boat for a year. He is going to learn the meaning of chesed like nobody ever had to before him. He is going to take care of everything for that year. And that is a purification process. So one way to look at Noach is, Kinim ta'aseh hateva, your boat is going to be a purification for you, because Noach, you've done things that were wrong. And now, building this boat and maintaining all the creatures on it, that's going to be your atonement. One approach. The other approach, again, kinim, you need atonement, like the Mitzora does. Because you've been an outcast, you've been outside of the community. But here's a catch. Take a look, please, at source number 15. Source number 15 is a medrash on why Noach is an outcast, and why he doesn't reach out to people. And I dare say most people who talk about Noach as not having reached out to people have never seen what this medrash does with it. Rabbi Yehuda Omer. Rabbi Yehuda says, you know why Noach doesn't reach out to people? Look at the way the Torah describes Noach versus the way it describes Abraham. For Noach, it says, Es ha'elokim hishalech Noach. Noach walked with God. What does it say for Abraham? Hithalech lefanai. Hashem says to Abraham, walk in front of me. Ve'yeh tamim, and be perfect. So Rabbi Yehuda says, not everybody is cut out to walk in front of God. Mashal lesar shahayu lo shnei banim echad gadol v'echad katan. He says, compare Avraham and Noach to a situation in which a noble has two kids, one older, one younger. Amar la katan halach imi. He says, the younger one, walk with me. V'amar la gadol bova halach lefanai. And to the senior one, he says, walk in front of me. In other words, Noach doesn't go reach out to people because Hashem doesn't want him to. Hashem thinks he's not able to. Hashem is concerned about what's going to happen to Noach. You see, it's not simply a matter, what this medrash is picking up on is very sharp. It's not just a matter of Avraham reached out and Noach didn't. Hashem told Avraham to. Hashem said to Avraham, go reach out. He never says to Noach, go tell people. Why does he instruct Avraham to and not instruct Noach to? Because Noach's not cut out for it. And the Medrash continues. Kach Avraham Shayakocho Yafe. Avraham was strong. Hisalech lefanai ve'yetamim. Hashem said, go walk in front of me. Noach, on the other hand, didn't have the strength for it. Now, this paints Noach as being weak, and that's one way to look at it. But continue. Rabbi Nechemiah Amar, Rabbi Nechemiah said, Rabbi Nechemiah says, compare it to the king's friend who is sinking in thick clay. The king looks out and sees him. He says, you don't have to sink into the clay, walk with me where I am. In other words, Noah has to deal with things that Avram does not have to deal with. Avram's time is bad, but it doesn't match Noah's time. Noah is dealing with a world in which he's going to be sinking in clay every time he goes out there. And Hashem says, that's not what I want you to do. I don't want you to go out there. That's not your role. You won't be safe if you try it. And so Noah isn't charged with going out among the population. What does Hashem do? Hashem says, I want you to build a boat. And that will bring you in contact with people in a safer way. You're building your boat. Maybe someone comes to you to ask a question as opposed to you going out among them. And that's a safer environment, and that will be your process of atonement. You will be able to atone when you build this boat. You will no longer be an outcast because people will come to you. There was a hand back there. Yeah. Mm-hmm. In a sense, yes. I'm not sure, you know, exactly about the paving of the way for Abraham and how it helps. I couldn't point to a trail, or to people who were influenced by Noah. Other than to note, maybe this fits in with what you're saying. Noah has three sons. One of them is Shem. And Shem and his son Aver, as recorded in the Medrash, create Yeshivat Shem ve'Aver and so forth. So there is something that comes out of Noach that endures. So maybe there is. It trailblazed there. So what we're seeing here is the idea that the boat is a vehicle of atonement for Noach as he builds it, either in terms of the effort he has to put into it or in terms of making him no longer an outcast. One last point. Linking Noach and the Metzora. And this, I have to give credit where credit is due. This was part of a year-long shiur that I did on Medrash, on Parshas Noach. So Rebecca Nadler was at the class, and she pointed out the seed of what I'm about to say. So, B'Shem Homro. What happens for Noach at the end of the flood? What does Noach do? No. Still in the boat. We're not going to talk about the other part. He sends out what? Two birds, just like the Metzora, right? The raven, and then the dove. When someone is purified by bringing a cane, by bringing this nest, they bring two birds. One bird is a chatat, a sin offering, and the other one is an olah, an offering that is entirely for God. It is burnt on the Mizbeach. You could compare the raven to the chatat, this sin offering, which is brought first, and then the pure dove, which declares, I want to be for God. I'd rather eat this olive, which is bitter, rather than be fed by Noach on the boat. And to take it still further, you know what the Metzora does with the two birds? The first bird is shechted. Well, Malika, technically. But the first bird is killed over a vessel containing water. What happens with the raven? The raven goes out over the water, but it doesn't carry out its mission. It doesn't accomplish its mission over the water. The second bird that the Metzora brings is sent away. It flies away and it doesn't come back, which is exactly what the dove did. Right? After the time when it brought back the olive leaf, the next time, it doesn't come back at all. The bird flies off and does not return. So this may be another reason why the Medrash wants to link Noach and the Metzora with this choice of the word kinim. The Metzora is like Noach the outcast, and he mimes what Noach did at the end of his own quarantine and purification period with his carbon. And of course, Noah also brings a carbon when he comes out, but that's another discussion. The message here that we see in this medrash is that Noah needs purification and restoration to society. Even if he was an outcast, not because of his own sin, but because of Hashem's choice. Hashem made him an outcast. Hashem didn't tell him, go out. Hashem said, I need you to stay here with me. But Hashem says there does have to come an opportunity, in a safe way, when you will reach out to others. Even though this generation is so horrid that I have no desire for them to continue to exist on the planet, nonetheless, Noah, there has to come a moment when you reemerge into society. And I think the message for us is the value as well of emerging into society and building those bonds with others as a means of atoning ourselves, as a means of purification ourselves. Because even in Noah's situation, with these terrible people all around him, people who are guilty of horrible abuses of each other, nonetheless, he has to make connections with others. How much more so we should be expected to do so as well. Whether in terms of, you know, Noah's role of acting as a model of a servant of God, or just in terms of connections with other people and being a member of this wonderful society that Hashem created. Either way, it is upon us to find our own teva experience, our own experience which will help us to build those bonds with others. Thank you very much.